What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. Warriors get the win against the Milwaukee Bucks, 105-95. They jack up 46 threes. They get the win in a way that we haven't seen them win in a long time. I can't remember the last time we saw them get a win like this. All that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles C. Hamilton. Wasn't planning on doing a post-game podcast, so to speak, but after the game we just saw, I felt like we had to because, specifically because of the way they won, but also because it was a good win. I mean, as I said in yesterday's podcast or today's earlier podcast, however you want to look at it, I'm not sure when I'll put this out, but it feels weird to call the, 27th game of the season a big game, but it's kind of a big game. It's a potential finals matchup. Best team in the East, best team in the West going at it. Warriors down, Draymond and DeMarcus. So, yeah, it was a big game. As big a game as you can play in the 27th game of an 82-game season. Warriors got the win, playing a little different than they usually do, and hopefully this is an omen of things to come. But one thing I want to talk about first, and I forgot to put this in yesterday's podcast, but Steve Kerr spoke with the media before tonight's game against the Bucks, and he was asked about the 84 points in the paint given up in that first game they played against the Bucks, which I mentioned yesterday was absolutely ridiculous. 84 points is ridiculous, and they got outscored by 50 points overall in the paint by the Bucks in that first matchup. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say.
I've never seen anything like it. 84 paint points. That's a shocking number.
I know a lot of that's Giannis kind of getting to the rim, but what was the problem?
Just in general, our shell sprung all kinds of leaks. You know, you need a five-man shell in every possession, and there's got to be sharp rotations that keep that shell intact. You can't get beat on back cuts. You can't get beat on box outs, and all those things when you have a lapse in one area, that's all it takes because you know the help is no longer there. So it was probably the worst defensive night we've had, but we were also playing a great team that exposed all that, and they're hard to guard because they have about 10 three-point shooters, and they got Giannis coming downhill at you. So they're going to score, obviously, and they're going to do a lot of good things. And what we can't do, though, is break down over and over again and let them get into the paint and get easy shots.
So there's Steve Kerr on the defensive breakdowns in that first matchup against the Bucks that cost them 84 points in the paint, which sounds about right. I mean, it was a lot of defensive breakdowns. It was Pat Connaughton getting behind Steph a bunch. Not a lot of that happened tonight, even though the Bucks still had 56 points in the paint, which is a lot. That's something that's kind of expected with against a team with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think I just nailed that pronunciation. So, but that's half expected against a team with Giannis. But Warriors had 32, Bucks had 56. So it's going to happen. But 84 was a ridiculous, ridiculous number. On to tonight's game. The Warriors got the win 105-95. They got it largely with their big three, so to speak. Big three until their big five return. Having okay nights. KD had a bad night. I mean, there's no question about it. KD had a bad night. But Steph and Klay, especially Klay, it was good to see the night Klay had played all right. Not Steph wasn't his normal self. They both ended with 20 points, Steph and Klay did. The nice thing about Klay is he was 4 of 9 from 3 and 8 of 16 from the field. Not only that, he had 5 rebounds, 6 assists from Klay Thompson. That's pretty incredible. 4 steals. So As far as individually goes, I think Klay had the best game out of all the big main players. But there was more to the game than just those guys. As far as my notes go, I had first half energy was great from Jordan Bell on the boards. He was active. He was all over the place, and which was good to see. And you hope to see more of it from him because that's what they need from him. Simply put, can't really say much more than that. That's exactly what they need from Jordan Bell. Come in, play with energy, rip the boards, defend, and finish. When they get you open looks, finish. And he was able to do that a couple times tonight. He's still a little skittish with the ball, but he had a solid game, solid energy. Bad game for KD, bad half for KD, as he had no field goals in the first half. None. Zero. He finished his line 11 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 7 turnovers. 3 of 14 from the field. Woof. Worst game of the year, I think, for him. And the 7 turnovers was big because in the first half, they had 14 turnovers, and they were sloppy, unforced, unnecessary turnovers, all very avoidable. But they just couldn't avoid them. I mean, this is the best way I can put it. They could not avoid turning the ball over for some reason. But the way they played the rest of the game, they were able to overcome it, obviously. And in the last 17 minutes of the game, they only had 2 turnovers. So it's evened out, I guess you could say. But man, that first half was ugly. Those turnovers were ugly, unforced turnovers and unnecessary. They were just bad. I mean, they were just bad. That's the best way I can put it. After 14 first half turnovers, guess who actually had more turnovers in the game? Milwaukee. A lot of that, though, was not live ball turnovers. A lot of charges called, a lot of offensive fouls called. Not that I got anything wrong with that, but it wasn't, you know, a bunch of steals from the Warriors. But back to my point, just the turnovers hurt the Warriors early. They were able to overcome it, and it's still a bugaboo for the Warriors and has been forever and will continue to be. I mean, let's just be honest. Jonas Jerebko was great tonight. He was aggressive immediately, especially in the first half. And what's even better than that, carried over to the second half. He ended up going 4 of 10 from the field, but was 4 of 9 from 3, had 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist. And you heard me right. He took 9 threes, and they were all good shots. And we're going to continue to talk about that in a little bit, but Jonas Jerebko took 9 threes tonight. You know who else took a lot of threes? Alphonso McKinney. You know who else? Andre Iguodala. And that's kind of what I'd like to see a little more of. But we will get to that more. Jonas Jerebko, like I said, aggressive, making plays, knocking down buckets. Klay was extra aggressive. Loved seeing it. Extra aggressive with his shot, too. And not just the mid-range, from three. There were times when he could have pulled it down, stepped in, taking the mid-range. Screw it. He was jacking up threes, and he was knocking them down tonight. So that was a great sight to see, especially for him. Alphonso McKinney hasn't missed a beat, man. And the craziest part is, like, he's good. I don't understand how a guy like Alphonso McKinney goes missing in the NBA for this long and then all of a sudden is a big contributor on the best team in the game. I'll never understand it. Great job by Bob Myers and the team. And let's go. I mean, he was great. Doing exactly what he does. Does all the little stuff you like with his energy, his athleticism, the rebounds, only three rebounds tonight, all defensive, but he did earn the Warriors at least 2 extra possessions offensively where he didn't actually come up with the rebound, but his effort turned into an extra possession for the Warriors. He's been great, and you know what else he did? Knocked down 3 threes out of 7. Yes, Alphonso McKinney took 7 threes tonight. This is a theme you're going to be hearing from me from this game, but he knocked down 3 threes. Was awesome. One of them late in the fourth. After a KD drive, kicks it to Alphonso. Boom. Big 3. He's been great. It's great to have him back. He's an important player on this team. No question. Great play at the end of the first. I have to throw Andre Iguodala in there with his aggressiveness, too. He was 3 of 6 from 3. Yes, Andre Iguodala took 6 threes tonight, knocked down 3 of them. He was aggressive. He was making plays, and especially a play at the end of the half where Warriors were inbounding the ball, Andre was inbounding it, and they basically double-teamed Steph. So he's able to get it into Clay, and as soon as he gets it in, he starts sprinting to the rim, knowing that the guy who's supposed to be obviously guarding him is guarding Clay, or is guarding Steph, excuse me, on the double team, gets a wide open dunk, boom, another great play to end the half. Clay ended the first half with 12, Andre had 10. Andre had 15 in the game. I can't remember the last time Andre had 15. Maybe like the 2016 finals? No, that's mean. But the last time he did have 3 threes in a game was the, I think, game 4 of the finals last year. So a big game for him, obviously. In the first half, like I said, Andre had 10, Clay had 12, Steph had 8, Kevon Looney had 8, KD had 4. Rough game for KD. I'll keep saying it because it was. It just was. Coming out in the second half, Clay and Andre continued to pretty much carry the Warriors. Part of it was the fact that the Bucks were focusing so hard on defending Steph and KD, which is understandable. But guys like Clay, Andre, Alfonso, Jerebko were all able to capitalize and get open looks. Steph had a rough third up until about the last 3 minutes when he was able to knock down some buckets and help extend the lead. He ended with 8 in the third, so like I've said before, with him and Clay and KD, they can have bad games or even bad quarters up until a hot stretch for 2 minutes where they, you know, knock down 2 threes and a drive. And that's basically what Steph did in the last couple minutes of the third, because he wasn't great in the third. Jonas Jerebko was, knocked down another 3. It was just a game that we haven't seen them play. In the fourth, Steve Kerr rolled out a lineup of Clay, Sean Livingston, Alfonso McKinney, Kevin Durant, and Jonas Jerebko. Clay, shooter. Alfonso, shooter. KD, shooter. JJ, shooter. Sean, mid-range. Still, it's there. And they were getting buckets. Clay would drive and kick. KD, drive and kick. Sean, drive and kick. And it's something that we haven't seen from the Warriors a lot of. We've seen, you know, Alfonso and Jerebko get, you know, 3, maybe 4 threes in a game, maybe 5 shots overall, something like that. And it's just good to see that they're expanding it a little bit, being more aggressive and being allowed to be more aggressive. As I mentioned, it was a bad game for KD, but was able to knock down a couple shots late in the fourth. 2 of his 3 field goal makes were in late in the fourth to help wrap the game up. And they only had 2 turnovers in the last 17 minutes of the game after having 14 in the first half. Just a few more specifics on tonight's game. As I mentioned about Andre Iguodala having probably his best game of the year, best game in a while. I can't even pinpoint when the last game this good was. He ended with 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 3 of 6 from 3, 6 of 10 from the field. His best game by far. It's been a while. Great to see. Kevon Looney, another one. I mentioned his 8 points. He had 7 rebounds, 3 of them offensive. The guy is an offensive rebounding monster, and 4 assists. I talked about his assists recently, and he's continuing to rack them up. Another thing between Steph, KD, and Clay, who, as I mentioned, didn't have great games, but I talked about the driving kick for all 3 of them. Clay, 6 assists, which, again, huge for Clay. That's one of the bonuses of Clay's season so far, even though he's had what is a rough shooting season for him. Assists are up. Rebounding is up. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, and 4 steals. Clay was all over the place. Clay had 6 assists. Steph, 8. KD, 6. That's 20 assists between the 3 of them. So even though the offensive games weren't on point, they were doing more than just scoring. They're capable of doing more than just scoring, and that's exactly what they did. The Warriors had 32 assists on 40 shots. tonight on 40 makes. 32 assists on 40 makes. 80% of their makes were assisted. That's classic Warriors basketball, man. And we saw it tonight, and it was beautiful. Going to take a quick break, come back, finish talking about the game, some of the things Steve Kerr said before and after the game as well. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Warriors beat the Bucks 105-95. Great finish to this road trip, winning three straight, especially after losing the first two, the tough one against the Raptors and then just the clunker against Detroit. But they win three straight, end up beating the Bucks tonight. And the Warriors ranked 19th in three-point attempts before tonight's game, three-point attempts per game. Steve Kerr was asked about it before the game. I'm just going to summarize here. It's a long quote. I don't care. What I care about is great shots. I want to get really good open shots. Doesn't matter if they're three or from two, but I want them to be good ones in rhythm. I'm not entirely convinced that math is everything. I'd rather go 6 for 12 from two and have the team take the ball out of the net the next six times, then go 4 for 12 from three and have to deal with 8 fast breaks. There's a reaction to everything. I know as a player, I felt more confident when half my shots went in rather than a third, whether they were from three or two. There's a rhythm that builds within the game. For me, it's similar to a football game. The best football teams have run-pass balance. Maybe they don't throw it every time. They keep the defense off balance. They mix it up. It's a similar dynamic to me. I think you have to be diverse. You got to be really good defensively. My number one priority is always an open shot more than a particular kind of shot. I lied to you guys. I read the entire quote. I don't know why, but it was a long one. That's where Steve stands, and I agree to an extent. Yes, open shots and good shots are better than forcing threes, but I talked about this recently. It feels like the Warriors have more trouble getting threes off than other teams, or at least they did until tonight. They took 46 threes, knocked down 19 of them for a 41% clip, and outshot the Bucks from there. None of the, besides maybe some of the ones by, you know, Steph, Clay, and KD, and they're allowed to take those bad shots because of who they are and how good of shooters they are. None of the ones taken by Alfonso, by Jarebko, by Andre were really that bad of shots. And that's the other thing. I agree with Steve. I would much rather have an open shot than just a specific type of shot. And that's the problem that I've had and continue to have with the D'Antoni system of threes or layups, nothing else. You have to be able to do other things. Because as we saw in Game 7, when you can't make a single three out of 27 of them, well, we know what happens. But I do think the Warriors have the ability and the players to take more threes. And we saw it tonight with Alfonso taking 7, Jarebko taking 9. I'd love to see if it continues. I hope it does to an extent. You don't have to take 46 threes every game, but I would love to see Jarebko and McKinney and Quinn Cook and Andre, if he's willing to take them, get more than 3 or 4 threes a game. They were getting great looks. Steph was dishing to Jarebko. He would pull 2 defenders, get it to Jonas. Jonas would jack up the shot. It was a thing of beauty. It was beautiful Warriors basketball. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about the Warriors getting 46 three attempts in tonight's game and knocking down 19 of them.
Yeah, like I said in pregame, I just want to shoot more threes than the opposition. It was just, that's what was there. You know, Jonas took 9 of them. Zoe must have taken 6 or 7. So, you know, when they beat us at Oracle a few weeks ago, they basically packed the paint and dared Andre and Jonas and whoever else to make shots. And those guys were ready to go, and they knocked him down, so it was big.
Steve, Andre's often risen to the occasion, but how do you see him approach this game?
I think Andre has a sense for when we need to perform well. You know, this was a game that meant a lot to us. We were embarrassed a few weeks ago, and, you know, we have an eye on them. You know, this is a team we could play later on. And this is the last time we're going to play them. So we wanted to come out and give our best defensive effort. which I thought it was. I thought it was our best defensive game of the year. We were getting after it right from the opening tip.
Steve Kerr being hilarious, as usual. He's joking about the threes, as the quote that I read earlier. But he makes a good point. That's what was there. They were clogging the paint. It was almost confusing how open Jerebko and McKinney were getting, but not really when you saw how many people they had packing the paint against KD and Steph. But Steve also mentioned something about Andre, just how he understands when to rise to the occasion. And we really saw that tonight. And that's something we see with him where, you know, a game against Detroit, he might kind of, but he really showed up tonight and had a great game. And he does have a feel for when the team really needs him. I want to give a shout out to Sean Livingston because his consistency throughout the season has been incredible. He's also been another great piece. I mentioned a day or two ago, and I'm going to have to eat crow after tonight's game, but that I thought Sean might, you know, need to get some of Andre's minutes late in games. And then Andre comes out and has his best game of the year, maybe best game in the regular season and in two seasons. But Sean still played great tonight. He's starting to get a feel for a chemistry with Jerebko, kind of similar to what he had with Mo Spates. And it's really great to see. Another pair that's starting to really understand each other is Looney and Clay. They're really starting to figure out each other's movements, where they're going to be, kind of like Clay and Bogut had. How Clay is going to come off of a Looney screen, things like that. Last thing I want to mention, Jerebko, not just the threes, he also took three charges tonight. He has been a revelation for this Warriors team. And I've loved seeing it. On this road trip alone, he is averaging 10-plus points, 2 assists, 5 rebounds, 1.2 of those offensive. He's been great. He's been really great for this Warriors team. Big win for the Dubs tonight. They take down the Bucks, 105-95. Going to take one last quick break, and then I want to talk about something KD said about LeBron a little earlier in the week. I've been meaning to get to it, but keep forgetting. So I'm glad I am going to have a chance coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton wrapping this thing up for you as the Warriors beat the Bucks 105-95. And I wanted to talk about something else. Great game. Just went over all of it. Loved it. Hope to see more threes being shot by this Warriors team moving forward as they took 46, made 19. Jerebko, McKinney, and Iguodala took 22 of them and knocked down 10. So, one thing I want to talk about, KD was asked about LeBron earlier this week, and none of it was derogatory towards LeBron, but he just basically said it's going to be tough to get players who want to play with him. Because the environment can be toxic, and it has nothing to do with LeBron. It's just the focus that comes with LeBron, the media focus. And he also called the media that there are some fanboys out there. And Dave McMiniman took offense to that, and I thought that was absolutely hilarious. Apparently, he went on some rant on radio, you know, crying about KD saying it, which kind of proves his exact point. But anyways, back to what KD had to say. And here's the thing. I agree with what he said. I agree with the outcome of what he said. Maybe not exactly what he said. The bottom line is, yeah, it's tough to get players to play with LeBron. You're asking another superstar, or superstars at least. It's tough to get superstars to play with LeBron because you're asking another superstar to come in, sacrifice for him, sacrifice some of their role, sacrifice some of their shots, some of the ball handling, whatever, and then take all the blame when things go wrong. And his first run in Cleveland, it wasn't like that. Early in the Miami run, it wasn't like that. But as soon as they start winning titles, it was, well, Chris Bosh isn't doing enough. Well, Chris Bosh isn't doing enough because LeBron has a habit of taking power forwards who average 26 and 12 and turning them into corner three-point shooters, a la Chris Bosh, Kevin Love. And look, it's nothing against LeBron. LeBron's the greatest player in the world. You're going to be in the title hunt every single year. Kevin Love talked about that before, and I'll get to that at the end. But I agree with what KD said. I have a theory, and it's not just a theory, it's fact, that LeBron will marginalize superstars that play with him, but then get the most out of the role players. He marginalizes superstars and elevates role players. If you look at Kevin Love, what Kevin Love was doing in Minnesota was great. Like I said, like 26-12, man, he was a beast. Go play with LeBron. Look, I need a shooter. I need you to just kind of kick it in the corner. Kyrie, look, if superstars wanted to play with LeBron, Kyrie would still be there. I don't think LeBron thought this was the team he would be playing with in LA. I think he thought they'd be able to get another player. Paul George, I mean, look, there's different stories about why Paul George isn't a Laker, but he had a decision to make once LeBron went there, and he said, I'm good. My point is, I think LeBron is better off with role players surrounding him, maybe one other superstar. But the idea that you're going to get a big three or something like that, you're never going to have what Golden State has with LeBron, because you can't play multiple stars with him. You know, I think Ryan Anderson would have been a better fit playing power forward with LeBron than Kevin Love, at least as far as scrutiny and media coverage goes, because if Ryan Anderson's getting you 16-10 or whatever it is, that's great. If he's getting you those numbers, that's awesome. But when Kevin Love is doing that, well, Kevin Love's not doing enough. And, you know, Jalen Rose went and said some bullshit about KD, which was pretty dumb, but about him being jealous or something. I don't know. But guys like Brian Windhorst, Tim McMahon, Jackie McMullen, they all pretty much agree with KD. They don't really maybe agree with the messenger or some of the media stuff he said. But the bottom line, the outcome of, you know, some superstars might not really want to go play with LeBron is pretty on point. Been meaning to get to that. I keep forgetting. Glad I was able to spit that out. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Won't be back till Monday. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.